If you have brought with you this morning a copy of the scripture, please open it up with me to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5. We're going to look today at verse number 9. Matthew, chapter number 5, and verse number 9. Preaching on this subject today, becoming peacemakers. Becoming peacemakers, Matthew, chapter 5, verse number 9. If you have found that portion of the scripture, would you stand together with me as we honor God by sharing together in the reading of God's holy, His inerrant, and His infallible word. Matthew chapter 5, verse number 9, the Bible says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God." Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Pray with me if you would. Heavenly Father, we do come into your presence this morning in that name of the Lord Jesus. God, just grateful to have the opportunity of coming before you. Grateful for the privilege today of reading your Bible. God, your communication to us, your written word to us. God, we're grateful for it and we treasure it. And we pray that as we spend a bit of time today looking at one of your Beatitudes, Father, we pray that you would speak to us and help us to learn about becoming peacemakers. God, I pray today that you would use me. Lord, I want to be your instrument. I want to be a tool that can be used to share your truth with those that listen to my voice. So, Father, may my voice become yours. May my words be yours. God, will you use me, please, to do your will today? Fill me with your spirit. God, give me that heavenly unction. For it is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray, and it is in the name of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that I preach. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. How many of you have ever heard of a guy by the name of Telemachus? Actually, his name was Saint Telemachus. If you don't know him, that is okay. He passed away many, many, many years ago. In fact, he passed away on January the 1st, 404, Anno Domini. But his story is just an absolutely amazing story. You see, Saint Telemachus was a monk that was serving in his monastery, and he was serving well in his monastery, a deeply devout man, a very, very religious man, and one day he began to sense and feel that God was giving him a direction to go. It said for quite a period of time, he felt like that God was telling him to leave his monastery and go to Rome. That's the only thing that he knew, was to leave his monastery and go to Rome. And so finally he decided to leave his monastery and go to Rome in obedience to what God wanted him to do. And so he packed all of his few belongings in a bag and he set off for the great city of Rome. When he arrived in the great city of Rome, it just so happened to be January the 1st, the year 404, Anno Domini. As he came into the city, he noticed that the city was just really, really bustling. He felt like that it was unusual activity. Not ever having traveled to Rome, he expected a busy city, but this was an incredibly busy city on this particular day. And so he engaged in conversation with some of the passersby. And the passersby told him the reason why they were excited was that this was the day that the games started in Rome. And so Telemachus decided, well, I'm going to go and take in these games that everyone is excited about. And so he went into the great Colosseum on that January 1st day, and he noticed that the games were taking place. But the games that were being played in that day were games where the gladiators fought one another. Gladiators would fight, and they would fight to the death, and all of that would be done under the approval of the emperor of Rome. And so there Telemachus was, and there Telemachus watched. And Telemachus thought to himself, how can this be? all of these years after the death of our Lord Jesus Christ, people are still killing themselves for pleasure. And he felt like he was compelled to do something to cause it to stop. And so Telemachus got out of the stands and he made his way down into the arena, and there he stood between the two gladiators that were going to fight. And he stood there and he said, "In the name of Christ, forbear." The crowd didn't appreciate that very much, and they began to shout at Telemachus. They began to shout at Telemachus, and they began to shout at the gladiators, telling them to kill him, run him through with your sword, kill him. Finally, one of the gladiators decided that he was going to do something, and so he walked up to Telemachus, and he turned the edge of his sword around, and he butted him in the stomach with the butt of his sword, and of course, that caused Telemachus to fall to his knees. When Telemachus got up, he stood once again between the gladiators and he said, "In the name of Christ, forbear." The crowd went into a rage and the crowd was yelling, "Kill him, kill him, kill him." Finally, the other one of the gladiators turned his sword to Telemachus and ran him through, piercing his entire body with the sword. Telemachus, of course, fell to his knees, certainly going to die. Somehow, he mustered the strength to get up and stand between the gladiators one more time. And he said, "In the name of Christ, forbear." And a hush came over the 80,000 people that gathered there on that day in that great Colosseum. And one by one, 80,000 people got up and walked out of the Colosseum. And do you know when the last day that the gladiators fought in the great Colosseum in Rome? It was on January the 1st, 404 Anno Domini. The emperor at that time was a guy by the name of Herodias. And Herodias was an individual that admired courage. And he admired the courage of Telemachus, and because of the courage of Telemachus, the great emperor outlawed the gladiator games, and since that day, there's never been another fight between the gladiators, because one man decided that he was going to stand up, and he was going to do something different. He was going to go against the crowd, and he was going to cry for peace. The scripture says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." That's what I want to talk to you about this morning, of how it is you and I are called by our Heavenly Father to become peacemakers. And I want us to see some things about this scripture. Of course, we've been in the Beatitudes for a little bit, and we know that the Beatitudes are the attitudes that Christians are to take upon themselves. And if we take upon ourselves these attitudes, we will experience the blessed kind of life. And so some blessed behaviors that our Lord is encouraging here when we look at these Beatitudes, beginning in the Sermon on the Mount of Matthew chapter number 5. And he's calling you And he's calling me this morning that we ought to consider our responsibility. We ought to consider our role when it comes to being a peacemaker. And there are a few things that I want you to notice with me this morning as we think about that subject. The first thing that I want you to consider with me today about becoming a peacemaker is this. Peacemakers accept peace. Peacemakers accept peace. We can't give away something that we do not possess. If you do not possess peace, then you are not in a position to give away peace. The scripture tells us that we have been justified with faith, and we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so what I want you to consider this morning is, have you ever received the peace of God? How do you receive the peace of God? You receive the peace of God by knowing Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. And that's the message of the church. That is the message that God has given to me, and that is the message that God has given to you as we make up the Parkside Baptist Church to be heralds of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we want everyone to come unto the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we desire everyone to be saved. And if you're in this room today and you've never become born again, if you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, friend, you need to do that. That is the only way to experience peace in this world, is to know it through Jesus. Do you know it through Jesus? You ever looked at our world, our culture, and society, and we are anything but a peaceful people, right? Look at our nation, and you see the unrest that is taking place. The unrest between the races, the unrest between those that are on different socioeconomic status, the unrest that exists in whatever political party that you might be. There's much unrest that takes place in our culture today. It's simply because we are our culture and we are a people that has forgotten Jesus. Friend, don't forget him. If you're in this room today, receive Jesus as your Savior. You will be blessed as a result of knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. But God has called you to be a peacemaker, and you'll never be able to be a peacemaker until you accept the peace of God that passes all understanding. That only can be done through Jesus. Scripture tells us that Jesus was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. But it also goes on to say, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Do you understand? Your sinfulness was placed upon the body of the Lord Jesus. And he took your sinfulness to the cross. And there he died. And he died so that you might be an individual that can be forgiven. And when you are forgiven, you experience peace with God. And I pray this morning the greatest blessing that this life has to offer. And I recognize that this life that we live, it's great. This life that we live, it's wonderful. It's a joy to be alive, but there's no greater joy than to know Jesus as your Savior. And my heart breaks for those that do not know that joy because they do not understand what they're missing out on. Give your heart to Jesus because Jesus died so that you might have everlasting life. Peacemakers, they accept peace. The second thing that I want you to think about this morning is not only do peacemakers accept peace, but peacemakers, they work for peace. They work for peace. Now, if you're like me, you want to be known as a person that is peaceful, but you probably are not going to be recognized as someone that is a peace activist in the modern day sense of the word. You won't necessarily see me protesting at some rally, undermining the government. I'm sure that I'm likely not going to be brought in by the government to be some kind of world peace czar. I'm not going to be able to solve the world's problems like all of the terrorists feel like they do. But I still yet have been called into that ministry of being a peacemaker, and we need to be individuals that work for peace. And we've got a lot to do when it comes to being a peacemaker. Just the very definition of the word peacemaker. The word peacemaker is a word that implies activity. Right? It implies intentionality. You'll never be a peacemaker and be unintentional. You're never going to be a peacemaker and be passive. God doesn't want you to live unintentional lives. God does not want you to live passive lives. He wants you to live lives of intentionality, lives of intentional activity for Him. And the intentional activity that He's calling us to do is to be peacemakers. Peacemakers, they work for peace. The area of relationships require us to be active in regard to those particular areas. When there is not peace, how come? You ever thought about that? It has to do almost exclusively, it has to do with our interpersonal relationships. Almost exclusively, it has to do with what I refer to as relational equity. If you have relational equity with someone, means that you are in a good relationship with them. You are investing in their lives, and they are receiving your investment, and in turn, they thereabout invest in your life. And if you are in a good relationship with someone, that's a result of what is going to take place. There is a two-way relational equity that takes place. You invest in me, and I invest in you. And because we invest in one another, we are in a good place one with another. But what happens when an individual in that relationship stops investing? Trouble, right? Some of you know exactly what I'm talking about. Some of you this morning are dealing with broken relationships. There is someone in your life that you are not at peace with in their life. Why are you not at peace with them? Simply because there's no relational equity that is working back and forth. They've either given up on you, or you have given up on them. Right? And you have become inactive, and you have become passive. And God does not want us to be inactive, and God does not want us to be passive. He wants us to be active and pursuing peace with everyone. We are to pursue being peacemakers. There must be some kind of activity if there's going to be a healthy relationship. Think about it. What relationship exists without activity? Those of you that are in a husband and wife relationship, do you ever get the silent treatment? Do you ever give the silent treatment? What happens when you get or give the silent treatment? Typically nothing that's good. My wife and I, we get into it every once in a while. And she gives me the silent treatment. And you know what I say when she gives me the silent treatment? About time. No, I don't say that. You know? But what happens when I give her the silent treatment and she gives me the silent treatment? A wedge is driven between us, right? And it spreads us further and further apart. Is that what God wants? No. God wants us to be peacemakers. And you can't be a peacemaker and be passive. You can't be a peacemaker and be inactive. Peacemakers work for peace. Peacemakers, they receive peace. Here's the third thing that I want you to see this morning. Peacemakers, they create an environment of peace. Peacemakers create an environment of peace. As you know, there are peace negotiators in the world. When there are differences between people, there's often a need for a person to go in to negotiate a treaty, to negotiate how these two parties can get along once again. And what they do is they go in that situation and they mediate. And what they try to do is they try to create an environment for peace. And sometimes that is needed. Sometimes as a pastor, I have worked in those kinds of situations where there was a need for a negotiator, someone that would come in and try to create common ground and try to create an environment so that peace might come as a result of that. How do you do that? Four things that I put on the board that you need to do to create an environment for the peace. The first one, obviously, we need to be able to do is to pray. We need to pray as men and women of God for those situations and for those circumstances in which relationships are needing a mend, when relationships are needing to heal. We need to be aware of those and put our hands together and pray, oh God, would you help this situation, to try to create an environment so that peace can take place. The second thing is listen. Just listen. Did you know that you don't always have to be talking? You know that? Just listen. You know what happens when you listen? When you listen, you hear things. When you listen, you can hear from the offended party. And you know what I've observed over these many years of being in ministry? If there is a problem in a relationship, there are two offended parties. Did you know that? There are always two offended parties. And you know what happens sometimes between the offended parties? They don't listen to one another. They don't hear one another. All they care about is expressing their reason for the problem. And the other one, they're interested in expressing their reason for the problem. And they're both always talking about what their problem is, but no one stops to listen. But you know what peacemakers do? Peacemakers listen. You know what God is calling you to do? He's calling you to listen. You know? And this, I don't know, this might be a revolutionary idea for some people, but you know you don't always have to be right. Did you know that? You can just accept wrong. Okay, I did it. I'm wrong. It's a great thing for husbands and wife to learn, isn't it? I've always taught men that there's six most powerful words that a man could ever say. You know what they are? The six most powerful words that a man could ever say. You ready? Some of you take notes, write this down. Okay, here are the six most powerful words that a man could ever say. Yes, dear, you're right, I'm sorry. You know what those six words do? Well, they can help to bring the temperature down and peace gets an opportunity. God's called you to be a peacemaker, and peacemakers create an environment for peace. How do they create an environment for peace? They pray. They create an environment for peace by listening. The third thing that they do is they create an environment for peace by explaining. By explaining. What do I mean by that? What I mean by that is not explaining I'm right and you're wrong, but explaining this is how I feel, this is how I interpret this situation or this circumstance. Right? And if you're praying and if you're listening, you will hear someone else's side to whatever the situation is. You pray, you listen, you explain, and then fourth, you bring together. Sometimes you got to bring people together. Get people to talk to one another. You do that with or without your presence there. Just get people to come together and talk. Now, I want to warn you that sometimes being a peacemaker is not convenient. Saint Telemachus, he was a peacemaker, and he gave his life for it. Sometimes peacemaking is like being a soldier in a civil war. He wants to preserve his life, but he understands that maybe he's got to put his life on the line to bring peace for others. There's a risk to being involved for a peacemaker. Ask St. Telemachus. Ask the Lord Jesus. There's a risk for being involved in peacemaking. But they were willing to pay it. You understand what I'm trying to get you to see? Peacemakers, they accept peace. Peacemakers, they work for peace. Peacemakers, they create an environment for peace. Number four, kind of goes with number two and number three, really, but I thought I wanted to say it anyhow. And so I'll say this. Peacemakers are instruments of peace. They are people that can be counted on time in and time out as an instrument of peace. Peacemakers are tough. Peacemakers are tenacious. But peacemakers don't always exist for a fight. Sometimes peacemakers exist to cause peace instead of a fight. Peacemakers are instruments of peace. I'm reminded of this scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. If your Bible was open, you'd find that it says this there. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation, to wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be reconciled to God. Peacemakers, man, they're instruments of peace. Our Lord Jesus Christ was our peacemaker, and he paid for our sins, and he reconciled us to God. And those of us that have received this wonderful gift of reconciliation and are called upon then to be ambassadors for Christ, We have the privilege of being an ambassador, right? I'm an ambassador for Jesus, right? I represent Jesus to people. And you, dear friend, you are an ambassador for Christ if you're saved. And you, dear friend, represent Jesus Christ to the world. So be a peacemaker. We are recipients of peace, and we ought to be instruments of peace as well. 1 Peter 3:15 says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason for the hope that is found in you." That is the work of reconciling people to God. Now go back here to verse 9. Look at it again. It says, "Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God." If you're a peacemaker this morning, you are blessed. And people see you as the Son of God. They see you as God's representative. You're His ambassador. I wonder, what do they see us as if we're not peacemakers? You ever thought about that? You guys have heard me say this a time or two before. I'm glad to be a Baptist. I am glad. I am Baptist born and I am Baptist bred, and when I die, I'm going to be Baptist dead, right? But you want to know something? We ought to be known more for what we're for than we are known for what we're against. And you know what we are for? We are for people coming to faith in Jesus Christ and knowing Him as their Lord and Savior. If you've never done that today, that would be the greatest way for you to honor God in your life. Greatest way for you to honor people that care for you, that are trying to be peacemakers for you, because they don't want you at war with the Heavenly Father. Come to Jesus. If you've already come to Jesus, then please know, friend. Please know. You're God's ambassador. And as ambassador, you need to be a peacemaker. Who do you need to make peace with? Remember how you do it? You pray and you listen. And you explain. Get people together. Who you need to talk with? I ask you this morning. Who do you need to talk with? Who do you need to deal with? God wants you to be a peacemaker. Are you known for that? If you're not, then why not? Why not do what God's asking you to do? And put this to work. Blessed happy, joyful are the peacemaker. For those people, those are the ones that demonstrate that they are the sons of God. Pray with me if you would. Heavenly Father, we do thank you so much for the opportunity to look.